Syria was one of the countries that in the 20s, after World War I, put a thin veneer of modernity over what was basically a very traditional culture. And we see this in a lot of the Middle East, or we see it in Iran. This was rectified by the Ayatollah, the Islamic Revolution in the 70s. We see it in Saudi Arabia with the monarchies and the other Arab monarchies. We saw it in Turkey. A couple of weeks ago, I had a conversation with Emine Karay, one of our Turkish integral sisters, and she talked about how Ataturk took over. This was an indigenous modernist revolution. It wasn't imposed by the West, but in Turkey, Ataturk in the 20s brought in a fierce modernity where he outlawed the headscarves and really any public expression of religion, legalized abortion, legalized drinking. This was a far bridge, maybe not too far for Turkey. They've managed to accommodate it. But a lot of these countries, eventually there's a revolt against the oppressive modernity, which is basically a way of pacifying and managing the tribal forces in these cultures so that they can at least provide natural oil for the rest of the world. And there's a resentment about that. And there's a resentment about that in really all of the Middle East. And it's got its a flashpoint now in Syria. So more recent history, in 1971, Hafez Assad, who is the father of the current president, Bashar Assad, took over the country and basically kept the country in a, quote, state of emergency for the next 40 years so that there were not free elections. It was a one-party system with him as a dictator and basically a really bad dictator who gassed his own people and had a regime of basically a Stalinist, red, mafia kind of regime, largely, that was, when he died, turned over to his son, and this was in the year 2000, so what's that, 13 years ago. And his son, Bashar Assad, came in, and people thought, well, you know, maybe we'll have a natural progression here because Bashar Assad was a doctor and was educated and was a doctor in London, an ophthalmologist. He married a London-born woman, a Muslim woman, and she was first lady. And these were modern people. They were in Vanity Fair, and they were touted in international society. And they did have some loosening. There were some salons and political thought and some freedom, but it just, you know, it's a little bit like Michael Corleone. He was the son, and he had good ideas, maybe, but whether or not he had good ideas or even a modernist bone in his body, he was eventually co-opted or signed up, or maybe his natural dictator came out, but he became part of the oppressive government and actually a minority in Syria, this Alawite minority, about 10% of the people, who continued to run things and had political oppression and centralized government and centralized economy. And then the Arab Spring happened about 2 years ago. Started, of course, in Tunisia, went through Europe. And when there was a modernist, and the Arab Spring is basically a modernist move in society. And when that came on, there was, as there was in a number of Arab countries, a repression by Assad, which sparked more resistance, and one thing led to the other. It's a long story. But the upshot is that 2 years later, the modernists who were resisting him have been joined, and not even joined, but the whole system, the whole meltdown of the country has invited in the Russians and the Hezbollah, which are the clients of Iran. And these are very tribal there's jihadis in there who want to, again, this is the tribal thing where they're working for a greater Islam. So it's a bit of a mess. And Barack Obama decided a couple of days ago, or last, whatever this is, I guess end of last week, that he would provide the rebels, or some of the rebel groups, the more friendly modernist rebel groups, with small arms. And we'll see how that goes. I actually don't know quite what to think of it. We have a lot of opinions, of course, in the country, and we have some strange bedfellows. We have, first of all, our regular, what we would call conservative hawks, and this is John McCain and Bill Kristol and the Weekly Standard and the Wall Street Journal and Lindsey Graham, Max Boot. These are people who basically are traditionalists of America who see that the Islamic impulse is a global struggle that has to be defeated, not accommodated. And so these are a predictable force in the United States. But we also have liberal hawks. And these are the people who argue for going in and helping the rebels in this cause because it's just such a humanitarian disaster. There's been 90,000 people that have died in this. And this is, you know, as integralists and as conscious people, we don't want to ignore that. There was a time in our history where we could ignore even what happened after we left Vietnam. It was a horrible meltdown of both people and Buddhists and repression and certain mini genocides, and we ignored them. But we can't ignore them anymore.